All right, so let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Father, I am so thankful for these few days that we've had together as couples. And Father, I'm thankful for the work that you have begun. And God, I'm thankful that you are the one who can meet all needs. And we all have needs, Father. Some small, some not so small. But God, you are the one that we look to. And so I pray, Father, that you would use your word to speak and encourage today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 14:1 is the verse that we're going to be looking at this morning. And it says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." So, have you ever built a house, been in a house building project? We have. And I can tell you it takes time and it takes effort, and sometimes it can be a long, slow process. I know some of you are in remodeling. Megan back here. And Holly even. And it can be a process. A friend of mine on Facebook, they're building a house. And she posts every day. You know, she started when they scraped the lot and knocked down trees. And then they dug the hole for the basement. And so every day it's a report, what's happened today. A long process. But they're almost there. And she's so excited. And it's a wonderful thing to see that house built. But have you ever seen a building torn down? It can come down in just a few minutes. Something that took so long to put up, so much work, so much effort, and so quickly it's destroyed. And the same thing is true of our homes, of our marriages. It takes a lot of effort and time to build. It's a continuing process, a lifetime, but in the end, it's all worthwhile. But it's also true that what takes years to build can be torn down in just minutes with just a look, a word, or an action, and everything starts to crumble. And so that's why Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house." Now, to build, you have to have tools, equipment. And we need tools in building our house as well. And the first thing we need is we need a heart that is yielded to God. Because if our heart is not yielded to Him and we're not wanting to follow Him, then it's all going to be futile. I mean, it will just be something that does not last, does not stand the test of time. So we need that heart yielded to God. We need our life controlled by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit needs to show forth in our life each day. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things need to show forth. And we don't just pick and choose there. It's not the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we need those things to show forth in our life as we're building our house. And then another tool is prayer. Much, much prayer. You know, after hearing Dr. Shetler talk about his wife, I would just love to meet her. I just hear all these stories and I think, man alive, I would love to meet that woman. And prayer, much prayer, because I feel like she's a woman of prayer. And that's what we need to be. You know, I think one of the greatest things that anybody can say about you is that you're a woman of prayer. That they know that you love prayer, that you do pray, and that God hears those prayers. So we need tools when we build. Hold on here. I've got one somewhere. Here, I've got one. Can you catch? Okay. So we need those tools when we're building. But then we also need a plan, a blueprint, because, you know, you don't just go and say, okay, I'm going to build my house and you have no real plans or anything. It takes some planning. It takes some preparation. And so the first part of that plan is a building plan regarding us, ourselves. So a wise woman doesn't take anything for granted. She's thankful to be loved and seeks to make herself lovely. She takes care of her physical appearance, but she also realizes that there's more to beauty than outward appearance. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." And lots of times we think of meekness as just being, you know, cowered over and never saying anything. But meekness is a disciplined sensitivity to the master. That's what meekness is. It's allowing God to guide us down the path, to let him show us the way. Proverbs 31:30 is another scripture. It says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So the wise woman knows that her relationship with the Lord is of utmost importance. It's not that outward appearance. You know, we can all think of beautiful women that we've seen, but their spirit is not beautiful. And they can be mean and conniving, and all that outward beauty, it doesn't matter. It's the inward. And then Mark 12:30-31 says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And who is our closest neighbor but our husband, our children? And we should be loving them. Love God and then love others, but especially your husband. Make sure that you love him. You know, there's a difference in loving and liking. There's a big difference, you know? And so God wants us to love. He wants us to like our husbands. Because sometimes we are commanded to love, but we need to be liking our husbands too. But we're to show him love because he is the nearest one right there to us. He is our neighbor. So a wise woman, she cares about the inward beauty, first of all, more than the outward. But she seeks to be confident and capable, and she's thankful. Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." And honor here means dignity, being worthy of respect. Are you worthy of respect? Do you live your life before your husband and your children so that you can receive some respect? You know, that's the number one thing that husbands desire is respect, and women love. But we also want to be respected. I've seen children who do not respect their parents, and that's a sad thing to see. They show no respect. And so when we have honor and strength as our clothing, then we can read, and it says, "She shall rejoice in time to come." One commentator said that last part, "She shall rejoice in time to come," means she lives in constant tranquility of mind. Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? Constant tranquility of mind. And that would cause rejoicing. That would cause happiness. And so strength and honor, that's what people see. And you know, your character, that really is the thing that's important. And that's what people look at. And that's what people know about you, is your character. And that's what we should strive for, is that inward again. Then a wise woman does not dream of what could have been. So many times people get married, and then before long, that initial excitement and first love and the honeymoon thing, it starts to wear off and life starts to happen and things can go wrong. And then I've heard women say, well, I just don't know if I married the right person or not. Well, you're married to him and he's the right person for you now. And so you don't, you know, think about all those what if things and what might have been. And I think sometimes social media is one of the greatest hazards to marriage and our families and homes, because then we get in touch with all those old folks we used to know, our high school sweetheart or the person that we had a crush on, and then we become friends and then we begin thinking, oh, what would it have been, you know, all that kind of stuff. God doesn't want us to go there, and we shouldn't go there. And so we need to learn the Philippians 4:11, where it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, that verse, there has to be a balance there, because, you know, last night Dr. Shetler told us about KOA and that other, you know, camping spot. And that is so true. There are things in our life, in our marriage, that we shouldn't be content with. We shouldn't just be satisfied that this is how it is. But there are times and there are seasons that we go through. And we need to know that in that season, this is what God has for us. And we need to be content. Because Paul said, whether he had learned to be content if he was rich, if he was poor, whatever the situation was, he was content there. And so there's that fine line there where you have to discern. And discernment is so needed in our lives as women, that we need to learn to be able to discern, to choose what is right, what is good, and to go with that. And so are you content with the man that God has given you? You should be. Can it be better? Yes. And so that's why we keep building, keep adding on. And we don't have to be living KOAs all of our life, but we can strive for that picture postcard relationship. A wise woman never expects anyone to serve her. Therefore, she's never disappointed. Proverbs 31:15 says, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She is ready to help. She's a giver. And the word give here has the idea of hand delivered or bestowed. And so by her example to her children and all those around her, she learns to serve cheerfully and energetically. You know, it's one thing to serve, and it's another thing to serve cheerfully. And I was just reading this morning, it says that I will serve the Lord with gladness. That's something that we need to think about. How are we serving? How are we serving our husbands, our children, our family? Are we doing it with gladness? Or are we doing it because, oh, that's what I've got to do, you know? I got to get up and make his breakfast, or I got to pick up his laundry, or, you know, all those things. Why are you serving? Are you doing it out of gladness or because you have to? And the same thing with the Lord. Are you serving him out of gladness or because you have to? Because there's a job in the church that needs doing and nobody else is volunteering, so I'm going to be the one to do it. All these people out here, they know it needs to be done, but nobody's stepping up, so I guess I'll be the one, you know. Well, what kind of attitude is that? We always would tell our boys when we were growing up, because of traveling, and we'd be in church a lot, you know, week after week, services every night. But it's not that you have to go to church, but that you get to go to church. And so our attitude, our mindset is so important. So a wise woman serves. A wise woman is also always learning. She is open to change, and she's ready to hear. She wants to know, and she doesn't cloud her mind with the foolish folly of entertainment. She uses her time wisely. Proverbs 31:27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And there it means laziness. So then we say, well, is she always working? Does she never sit down? Does she never have any time to herself? No. But she knows how to spend her time well. And you know, sometimes having a listening ear or giving a hug, that's time well spent. And it's just as important as having a clean floor or clean dishes or a clean house. And so learn to use your time wisely and always be learning the best way to do things, what it is that you should do. And then a wise woman spends much time in prayer. Psalm 109:4 says, I give myself to prayer. And this literally means, I am prayer. Think about that. I am prayer. What does that mean? That I'm praying all the time, praying without ceasing. That there's a prayer on my heart and my mind all the time. And, you know, our first response really should be, like when he was telling about losing his keys, and his wife goes, okay, did you pray about it? You know, why is it that that's lots of times our last response? You know, we have things happen to us, we lose things, we go through troubles and trials, and we just try to fix, and we go to so-and-so and tell them and say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, and our last resort is, I guess I'll pray. Why is that? When this verse says, I give myself to prayer, or I am prayer. And so a wise woman, she prays much. So that's the building plan regarding the wife, but also the building plan regarding the husband. What about him? A wise woman doesn't allow herself to be a liability in her marriage, but she strives to be an asset to the marriage bond. She looks for ways to make, save, and use money wisely, and she just looks for ways to improve that relationship. Her husband knows he's a richer man because she's his wife. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Can your husband say that about you? I've got a good thing here. And not only does he have the good thing in you, but he's also obtaining favor from the Lord. So are you a good thing, an asset to your marriage? Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is as rottenness in his bones. Do you want to be a crown? Or do you want to be that gangrene in the bone that eats away and is awful? So she doesn't become a liability. A wise woman seeks to be part of her husband's life. His interest or her interest. They become her interest. And she looks for ways to help him in every endeavor in which he's involved. When he has a need, her hand should be the first one to offer help. And are husbands going to have different interests and things they enjoy doing that we just absolutely cannot stand? Yes, they are. And that's okay, too. Harold loves fishing. Do I like fishing? Nah, not so much. Do I go fishing? Sometimes, yes. Especially if I know he's going out in the boat and he has to go by himself. And then he says, you're just going because you feel sorry for me. I said, yeah, but I'm going. So anyway, but learn to try and, you know, it's a sad thing when you, and we've all seen couples like that where he goes his way, she goes his way, her way, and it's just the two never seem to meet. But learn to show interest in what your husband's interested in. And when he needs help, be there for him. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so he shall have no need of spoil. Does your husband trust in you? Does he know that you're there to stand behind him and help him? A wise woman also knows that her husband's peace of mind is something that she can give or take away by her observations, her conversation concerning circumstances or people. She limits her conversation to the positive. She knows when to speak and when to keep quiet. And Brother Shetler covered that so well yesterday when he was talking about how to make an appeal. We all know that there are times where you just don't bring up something with your husband. We'll just wait a little bit. And it's never, at least in our marriage, a good thing to bring up big things right before bed. Whoa, that is the worst time in the world to bring it up right before going to sleep. And God wants us as wives to be wise and to know to choose our words, to choose our timing of when we speak those words. And should we never, you know, offer any suggestions, criticisms, whatever? No, we should. If you have those, then they should be made known. And we should go and just know when we should open our mouths. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Boy, if we all live by that, what a difference it would make in our lives, that we would speak kind words. My mother used to always say when we were growing up, she'd say to us kids, she said, "If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all." And that's so true, that we need to think before we speak, not be so quick to utter our words. A wise woman will gauge her husband's needs. She seeks to fulfill his desires even before he's aware of them. She never leaves him daydreaming outside the home. She supplies his every desire. And as Brother Shetler mentioned again yesterday, a man will gravitate to where he's praised. And we need to remember that as wives, that there's going to be somebody out there that sees what he does and sees the hard work he puts in or whatever, and they're going to praise him, and he's going to gravitate to that. And so we need to make sure that we are the ones praising our husbands, and that we, and it's not like, well, he knows I appreciate it. He might know it, but he really needs to hear it. And so that's that we use our words to do that. And we meet those needs. A wise woman understands that her husband needs, his need to be honored is not based on his performance, but on his position. And a man does need to be respected and honored. And sometimes you feel like he's not worthy. He's done something that is not right. But there again, you respect the position sometimes and not the man. We used to have a neighbor who was a state trooper. And he was just a little fella, not very big at all. And just to see him out, you know, you wouldn't think so much about him. But when he put on that uniform and he got in that car, we would see him on the highway and he'd have big tractor trailers pulled over, you know. Why? Not because of who he was, but because of the position that he held. And so we need to remember that sometimes, that honor goes because of his position. Then a wise woman doesn't attempt to instruct her husband through feigned questions. Her questions are sincere inquiries concerning his will. When decisions need to be made as wives, we should first go to the Lord in prayer and seek his guidance and direction. Secondly, we should go to our husbands in a calm way and give our thoughts on the matter. But we must do it in a way that is loving and not demanding. The tone of our voice is so important when we're talking to our husbands, children, anybody. And you know, sometimes we can work ourselves up, and then things that might have started out calmly then end up in a big yelling match. And nothing's ever accomplished that way. That we just need sometimes to take a deep breath and then calmly go over what it is. And then, after we've appealed, we need to remember that we may not get a yes. And that's when we have to go rest with assurance that our husband is in God's hand. And we need to let our husbands know that we're going to stand behind them. Even if we still feel, this is not a wise decision, we shouldn't be doing this, then we've got to turn them over to God and let God change their hearts and their minds. And he is able. God is able to change any situation. And it may not happen overnight. And it won't be easy lots of times. But we have to develop such a trust in God that we know that he is able. And that he will guide our husband in the right path. 1 Peter 3:5 says, "For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." And so those holy women, they were in subjection and they honored their husbands because that's what God expected. And that's God's plan for the family. And then a wise woman prays much for her husband. And we have to realize that our husbands probably will never pray for us like we pray for them. That's just how it is. But that doesn't matter. We're still to pray, and we're still to go to God and seek God every day for the things that, for God to work in our husbands' lives, and to be a praying wife. That is one of the best gifts you can ever give your husband, is that you're praying for him and that he knows you're praying for him. So she's a woman who prays much. And then lastly, the building plan regarding our children. A wise woman will set a joyful mood in her household. Proverbs 31:27 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household." She'll use laughter and music and happy times to put her children in a joyful frame of mind, because she knows that if there's a good, happy, lighthearted spirit in the home, it's going to relieve the stress on your husband. You know, when our husbands are out working, especially, and they come home, and we have just had it, you know, and we all have days like that, especially when little children are involved. And it's just like, oh, this is never going to end. And then he comes through the door, and it's like, all yours, you know. And then he's already had a hard day at work. I'll never forget one time when Stephen was a baby. And Harold was one of those fathers who never changed diapers. Never. I mean, he might have done it one time out of an extreme emergency. But he just, that was one thing he didn't do. So by the time Stephen came along, his two older brothers, Michael and Brandon, lots of times, if I had to be gone, they got the job. And I had gone to a shower, a baby shower, and Stephen was very little. I was still nursing him, in fact. And so I had to time my, you know, my shower to get there and then get back in time before the feeding. And I'll never forget when I came driving down the street. We lived on a cul-de-sac at that time. And there was Harold on the front porch with Stephen. And Stephen was screaming. And I drove in, got out of the car, and he just goes. And he turns and he walks away. And so that was stress for him. But we need, as mothers, to create a good, happy atmosphere. And you know what? When we have a orderly environment in our home, then that really reflects the character of God, because he's an orderly God. But that doesn't mean that if you are going through a season of chaos, that you're a failure as a mother. And I think so many times moms think that. And there are seasons of chaos as mothers. I mean, Things just go wrong. And when that happens, don't beat yourself up. And don't say, I'm a failure. No, that's not true. Because we need to remember that in the light of eternity, and when it's all said and done, have the people that have passed through your home seen the love of Jesus? And if they have seen Jesus in your heart, then you are not a failure. You're not a failure as a wife. You're not a failure as a mother, because you have shown the love of Jesus. And that's really what counts in the end, is that we have shown God's love. Our homes are to be the platforms to display the very love of God. Then a wise woman will discipline her children because she expects good behavior and does not allow her children to run the house. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And we need to be careful that we are training our children and we're not letting them do things. And a habit is developed very, very quickly. I knew a lady, she was a friend of ours at a church we used to go to years ago. And we would, after church, we'd all stand around talking and everything. And then, of course, the kids would be playing. And her little girl was maybe two. And she was running up and down the aisles, back and forth. And her mom called her, and she, whatever her name was, I can't remember now. And she said, "You need to stop. Stop running." And that little girl turned and looked at her mom, and she said, "No." Right like that. And you know what her mom did? She looked at us and she said, "Isn't she just the cutest thing?" And I thought, you know, she might be the cutest thing right now, but when she is 14 years old, she's not going to be so cute. And so we need to train our children and discipline our children. And it's hard sometimes. I remember when Harold would have to discipline the boys sometimes, he'd end up laughing. Just because of their looks on their face, you know, because they knew they were in trouble and they were going to get it. And he would then just, you know, because sometimes they are cute, but sometimes cuteness down when they're little is not so cute when they're older. So discipline your children and train your children. And then last, a wise woman sets a godly example before her children. She's not perfect, but she has a heart to follow God, and her children see that. Proverbs 31:28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." And you know, that's what we want in life, or we should want, is that our children look at us and know that we are godly women that follow after God, that want the just to live for God. You know, they say that Mother's Day is the number one for Hallmark. Hallmark said one time, they sell more cards at Mother's Day than any other time of the year, any other season. It's Mother's Day. And when you ask people who had the greatest influence on their life, 9 times out of 10, they're going to say it was their mother. And so we need to live lives where we set a godly example before our children. And then the last thing there, again, a wise woman prays much for her children. Be a woman of prayer. I can't say that enough, that it's so vital to our life. It's our very breath, really. It's what keeps us going, is that we learn how to pray, to spend time in prayer. And everybody's season of life, again, is different. If you've got small children or you work a job, you're not going to be able to spend maybe a long time every morning in prayer. But you can spend some time. And you can spend that time coming and going to work. You can spend time whenever you're washing the dishes. Well, most people have dishwashers now. But when you're putting the dish, loading the dishwasher, whatever. There are times we have lots of, I call them mindless things that we have to do every day. It's not that we have to think about what we're doing. It's just a habit, and we do it as part of our day. And in those times, we can be spending praying, talking to God. So the question that we need to ask is, are we building or are we tearing down? Because we're doing one or the other. And, you know, a house sometimes needs repair. And so maybe your house is not torn down completely, but there are areas that where repair is needed. And what you need to do is run to the cross and confess that your sin and the rebellion that you have toward your husband, toward God. And go to your husband and your children and confess to them and begin building again. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for your word. And I'm thankful, Father, that you do give us a blueprint and you do give us guidance and direction for our lives. And God, for each lady here, you desire that they would have a happy home. Father, there are some here right now that are going through things where their home is not so happy. But God, give them the wisdom, give them the guidance, the direction to know what to do and how to repair the things that need to be repaired. And Father, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, marriage is a lifelong process. And we never arrive, but we can always keep growing and building and improving. So Father, I'm thankful that you desire happy homes. Thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.